This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to The Corporate Casket. My name is Blair, and today I'm going to be looking at a church on this fantastic Christmas day. And by church, I'm using that word very, very loosely here, because today we're going to be taking a look at the Westboro Baptist Church. Now, WBC has been on my radar for quite some time now, and for the most part, I think I can say they're pretty universally hated by nearly everyone. From their God hates F-slur signs to same-sex parents doom kids signs, it's all just really rage-inducing. Personally, I'm not super religious anymore, but even Christians that I know don't condone these people's actions. The Bible talks about speaking to others with love, and yet it's really nowhere to be found when you look at the Westboro Baptist Church. So, even though Westboro Baptist Church is entitled to hold the extremist beliefs they do have, the way they shame people, picket funerals, their teachings, it's anything but loving. This place is just a cesspool of angry, miserable people, plain and simple. And for a while, I thought, like, why cover it at all? There's not much more to be said here. However, I think what ultimately led me to covering this topic is not only my disdain for these groups, but my curiosity too. So, how did they get this way in the first place? Have they always been so hateful? Well, let's take a look and find out. So, who is the Westboro Baptist Church, and how did they start anyway? Well, it actually started with Eastside Baptist Church in Topeka, Kansas. They were the ones to establish Westboro Baptist Church as a traditionally Orthodox mainline Protestant church. Westboro Baptist Church's first service was reportedly held on November 27, 1955, and the fallout came shortly afterwards. Fred Phillips, the leader and head pastor at Westboro Baptist, broke off fellowship with Eastside Baptist within a year of its founding in 1956. And this was obviously the first giant red flag for me. I understand that, hey, churches may have disagreements between their other branches or sister churches, that happens. But the very next year? Personally, this looks to me like a sign that Fred Phelps had completely different intentions for Westboro Baptist Church, and he was going to see those through. In those early years, Fred Phelps raised his family near the church, and many members of the Phelps family live in houses on WBC compound. These houses are arranged in a box formation and share a large backyard. In 1964, Fred founded Phelps Chartered, a law firm that has come to represent the church in its civil suits. All five of the firm's attorneys are his children. The Kansas Supreme Court disbarred Phelps in 1979, stating that Phelps showed little regard for the ethics of his profession. There isn't much detailed information between 1956 to 1991 when the picketing began, but the SPL, or Southern Poverty Law Center, does give us a few nuggets of information to show what Fred Phelps was up to, aside from his law degree. In 1969, the Phelps family's main source of income reportedly came from using their children to sell candy door-to-door for several hours each day. The children were also required to run several miles each day for some reason. In 1972, two companies actually sued Westboro Baptist because they failed to pay for the candy they were selling in the first place. They were ordered to pay $5,760 in one case, then settled for $1,650 in another. That same year, according to the SPL Center, Phelps filed suit against lawyers, county commissioners, and a judge in Topeka, alleging illegal acts by a political machine in Topeka. The defense answer says Phelps' suit was motivated by an earlier, now sealed, child abuse case against Phelps. So yeah, right off, this really sounds like a guy who should be running a church, right? There's other legal cases here, some ridiculous and some admirable. In 1974, he apparently filed a $50 million class action suit against Sears after a local outlet was several days late delivering his television. However, in 1978, he filed a civil rights case and even received awards for them in 1986 and 1987, one of which was bestowed by the National Association for the Advancement of Colored People. So, I suppose even terrible people can occasionally do good things. It's almost confusing to read about knowing who the Westboro Baptist Church is and what they stand for, then hearing Fred Phelps cared about African American rights, apparently. This is especially interesting considering how in 1979, he sued and harassed a court reporter for being late with a document and the event that led him to being disbarred. Bizarrely, in 1983, despite being disbarred, he sued the Washburn University Law School when three of his children were denied admission. He said his children should have minority status because of his civil rights work, even though, well, you know, his kids obviously were white. So yeah, don't think of him as a civil rights advocate just yet. Someone that truly wants to be an ally and supporter of civil rights wouldn't be going around and shouting it and demanding college admission just because they're such a good person. Surprisingly enough, we are still not done with these lawsuits, but I promise I will get through them quickly. In 1985, nine federal judges in Kansas signed a disciplinary complaint against Phelps, five of his children, and a daughter-in-law, alleging the seven made false accusations against the judges. In a separate complaint, Phelps, still practicing in federal court, will be censured in 1987 for writing abusive letters this year to potential defendants threatening lawsuits if his demands were not met. In 1989, in a settlement of the 1985 disciplinary complaint against him and several family members, Phelps agrees to permanently stop practicing in federal court so that members of his family may continue practicing. Also, as part of the settlement, daughter Margie is suspended from practicing in federal and state courts for 1 year, son Fred Jr. for 6 months. Then, in 1990, Phelps, undertaking a run for governor of Kansas, begins disseminating flyers attacking his gubernatorial competitors and other state politicians in unusually personal terms. He loses the Democratic primary, but garners 11,634 votes, or 6.7% of the total. Now, I know a lot of this may just sound like nothing but petty legal disputes, but I believe this really paints a picture of who Fred Phelps truly was and how he ran his church. Not only was it with an iron fist, but he was cruel to anyone who crossed him in the slightest. I know that in the past with MLM founders, I've felt a bit strange criticizing someone who can't defend themselves since they passed away. But hell, if Time magazine itself can call him a colossal jerk in his obituary, then I guess I don't feel too bad about agreeing with them. His church was built on some deeply disturbing values, and throughout the first couple decades, its leader spent his time being greedy and nasty. However, it wasn't until the 90s when his church unleashed itself onto the public and began the picketing. The first peaceful religious demonstration, as Westboro Baptist calls it, was in June 1991. Since then, they've held over 66,000 pickets in over 1,000 cities. They state that, even though the awful, destructive, sin-encouraging lies that God loves everyone and Jesus died for everyone are being taught from nearly every pulpit in this generation, with no focus on the wrath, holiness, and judgment of God, this hasn't always been the case. If you are in a church that supposedly believes in the Bible and you are hearing these lies, then your church doesn't teach what the Bible teaches. And again, I'm not religious anymore, but these statements are pretty easily disproved. Yes, of course there's scripture about God's judgment, but to say that the idea of Jesus died for everyone is destructive and awful? I mean, hell, some, if not most Christians, argue that that's the whole point of Jesus' message in the first place, that he offers forgiveness and salvation to those who accept him. Whether or not you believe that is 1,000% up to you. I'm not telling you what to put your faith in. But if a church is going to preach the Bible, why is it wrong to talk about God's love and his holiness too? Phelps seems so upset over churches focusing on the loving and good parts, so he steers so far the opposite into hateful, angry parts that it's really no wonder people haven't responded to them well, to say the least. Now, the picketing, more than anything, has really upset people. I mean, let alone the fact that there are children on these streets getting cursed at and saying this is normal when passerbys are furious with their signs, but Westboro Baptist Church seems to just promote hate speech. In 1994, Baptist unions were quick to call on their horrible claims that God hates Australians after the tragic Victorian bushfires. How WBC can possibly blame God for natural disasters, shout God hates you, and sleep at night is kind of beyond me, but that's a thing they do. However, Phelps really did not seem to give a damn about what others thought. "I rejoice when people get mad at me," Phelps, 64, said during an interview. "The disbarred lawyer and Baptist preacher is on a mission from God. His face lights up like a child's on Christmas morning when he talks about how the community has reacted to his anti-homosexual picketing and faxes. That theme is powerful in the scriptures, that if you are preaching the truth of God, people are going to hate you," Phelps said. "The Bible supports the death penalty for sodomy," he contends. "I'm not urging anyone to kill anybody." But the matter-of-factly explained his brief that homosexual sodomy should be a crime punishable by death based on his interpretation of the Bible. And it's wild to me how he goes, "I'm not urging anyone to kill anybody, but also, this should be a crime punishable by death." Either you do interpret it as something worth killing someone for, and you're preaching murder from the pulpit, which I'm sure is also a sin, by the way, or you respond to people with compassion. Again, I'm not really trying to get into a debate over what the Bible says in the comments here, but Phelps's stance, his hypocrisy, and how he just seems to revel in hatred is pretty upsetting. Westboro Baptist Church also has this nasty little habit of picketing soldiers' funerals for dying for America because, as they say, "These soldiers are dying for the homosexual and other sins of America. God is now America's enemy, and God himself is fighting against America." Like, yes, again, they do have a right to protest, but, like, why? Even their own argument falls short here because, from a purely unbiased standpoint, I think we can all agree here that the F slur is an insulting term, right? It's hurtful, it's a slur, and the context the WBC uses it in is so plainly derogatory. Yet, one of the members admits that nowhere in the Bible is that word even used. So, why use that word? Why be so nasty in the first place? Even if someone disagrees with LGBTQ+ rights, using that language gets you nowhere. They're just going the extra mile to be extra cruel. But of course, that's exactly what Fred Phelps preached, hatred. "The way to prove you love thy neighbor is to warn them they're committing sin," he told the Central Pennsylvania newspaper, The Patriot News, in 2004. "You're not going to get nowhere with that slop that God loves you," he added. "That's a diabolical lie from hell without biblical warrant." His church's website maintains a running tally of people whom God has cast into hell since you loaded this page. In 1998, he explained his view of a wrathful God in an interview with the Houston Chronicle. "You can't believe the Bible without believing that God hates people," he said. "It's pure nonsense to say that God loves the sinner but hates the sin. He hates the sin, and he hates the sinner. He sends them to hell. Do you think he loves the people in hell?" Later that year, he attracted global attention and condemnation when he picketed the funeral of Matthew Shepard, the gay Wyoming college student whose beating death led to a national debate over hate crimes. It was his church's protests of military funerals, which began in about 2005, that provoked the most widespread anger, prompting legislative bodies to establish buffer zones to limit such protests at funerals. Consistently, the church argued this was free speech, though their argument has rubbed a lot of people the wrong way, and understandably so. One man, Albert Snyder, who lost his son in Iraq in 2006, explained it pretty well when he said, "This is more than free speech. This is yelling fire in a crowded theater. Someone's going to get hurt." Whether or not you agree that they're legally allowed to picket, I 100% agree with Albert when he says that it's an insult to him, to his son, and to everyone in the military. His lawsuit, Snyder versus Westboro Baptist Church, became a whirlwind. In 2007, the federal jury first awarded $2.9 million in compensatory damages. It returned in the afternoon with its decision to award $6 million in punitive damages for invasion of privacy and $2 million for causing emotional distress. Snyder's attorney, Craig Treblecock, had urged jurors to determine an amount that says, "Don't do this in Maryland again. Do not bring your circus of hate to Maryland again." Westboro Baptist Church signs then read, "Don't pray for the USA and thank God for dead soldiers," and "You're going to hell, God hates the F slurs," and more. Laws were passed that wouldn't allow picketing within 300 feet of a cemetery under the Bush administration, called the Respect for America's Fallen Heroes Act. And for a while, things seemed to be over. But in 2009, the Fourth Circuit Court of Appeals reversed the judgment. And as ABC puts it, "In one of the strangest twists in this story, Snyder has been ordered to pay court costs totaling more than $16,000 to the very people who disrupted his son's funeral. The church says it will use the money to protest other funerals. Outraged citizens and even political commentator Bill O'Reilly offered to pay those costs." And this was way before the public fully knew him as the horrible person we know him as now, though that's an entirely different story. The case eventually made its way all the way up to the Supreme Court, where even the Supreme Court justices held up the amendment of free speech could at least agree that this was exploitative. After all, Mr. Snyder, who passed, was a private figure, not a public one. So their targeted message isn't protected by the First Amendment, and it could be seen as damaging. The Westboro Baptist Church argued that Albert Snyder became a public figure after his son passed and talked about the war to the media, and overall, things became blurred about where the line between public and private figures fell. It's an interesting but infuriating case, and it's even been compared to extremely controversial decisions in Texas v. Johnson, when the Supreme Court upheld one man's right to burn the American flag. In early 2011, 5 years after this all began, the justices said by an 8-1 vote that the Westboro Baptist Church had a right to promote their broad-based message on public matters like wars. Speech is powerful. It can stir people to action, move them to tears of both joy and sorrow, and, as it did here, inflict great pain. On the facts before us, we cannot react to that pain by punishing the speaker, Chief Justice John Roberts wrote for the majority. And yet, despite all this hate speech, their members never cease to astound me. One of them has the nerve to call news crews disrespectful when an anchor said he was sure that the members must miss his daughter, who was thrown out of the church for talking to a boy online. It's just like, what world are we actually living in right now? The guy just got finished shouting how the whole world's definition of mean and moral is wrong, and that's why he can use slurs, but don't you dare suggest he misses his family. That's too disrespectful. Hell, Phelps's granddaughter even tells the same ABC anchor that he should be put to death for just enabling homosexuality, and the government should do it. Like grandfather, like granddaughter, right? I'm sure Fred Phelps is proud. Looks like the Westboro Baptist Church standards, everyone that isn't extreme as them deserves to die. We've gotten to that level, people. The whole, we are the only good people left on earth level. According to WBC, Connecticut brought the Sandy Hook school shooting upon itself, and they made their own signs that said God sent the shooter. Hell, they found something wrong with every fucking group out there, to the courts, to pop music, to Obama, even dairy farmers. No one but them is acceptable. The kids say there isn't anything they want to do that grown-ups won't let them because they don't know any other way, which honestly kind of breaks my heart. Hearing these kids uncomfortably spew the hate their parents taught them, it's weird. It's uncomfortable to listen to it. One of these girls in these videos spewing the hate is only 10 years old in the video, yet she's telling this anchor about how a man should only lay with a woman. But hilariously, and again, hypocritically enough, Fred Phelps's daughter, Shirley, the new face of the church, so to speak, admits that she's had a son out of wedlock, Sam. Even though that's something that the church is very much against as well. So I guess talking to a boy online is enough to get someone excommunicated, but not having a son out of wedlock. I don't know where the line is for the Westboro Baptist Church, but like, I'm telling you, it is not a clear line. And I mean, sure, I guess this is a moment where I have to stop and reflect and be like, I suppose I'm a bit biased since I am part of the LGBTQ community and not religious and all of that. And, you know, just not up for murdering anyone who believes differently than me. To say I've had to restrain myself during all this research is a gigantic understatement. So I decided to watch a video about an inside perspective from Shirley's daughter, Megan Phelps Roper. Her TED Talk is really incredible and absolutely worth a listen if you have not seen it yet, and it's not hard to see why. She opens up by speaking about how she held up a sign when she was 5 years old at her first picket that says, "Gays are worthy of death," a sign she couldn't even read yet. Now, here's where it gets interesting and important. Megan says that originally, when she was brought to Twitter in 2009, the people were as angry and upset as she expected, the digital hordes of what she'd seen in person. And it was only the civil conversation that truly began to change her mind. It was no longer this brainwashed idea of good versus evil, but Megan says she began to see these people as human. It changed the way she spoke and planted seeds of doubt. People that bothered to learn her doctrine and her history were able to find inconsistencies in their message. As Megan said, "Why did we advocate the death penalty for gays when Jesus said, 'He who is without sin cast the first stone'? How can we claim to love our neighbor when praying for God to destroy them? People on the other side were not the demons I made them out to believe." Her message is so important, not only because it's one about loving and trying to understand others, but because it truly sheds light on what Westboro Baptist Church believes. They preach hate, obviously, we know that, but they also see the entire world as other. I'm not saying that this by any means excuses anything they've done, but it does make a little bit more sense at least. If Megan and her siblings were really raised to see the world as sinful demons, as she puts it, then they're going to be hateful and cruel and far from sympathetic. Now, when Fred Phelps died in 2014, there was no funeral. Westboro Baptist Church says it's because they don't worship their dead, and probably, but I'm also inclined to believe, it's because they didn't want a taste of their own medicine, and perhaps were worried that his funeral, in turn, would be picketed. Now, I could go on and on and on about what they've done, because this is far from everything. However, because Westboro Baptist Church has pretty much found fault in, well, anyone that isn't them, I'm just going to touch on a few more highlights. In 2016, they celebrated the Pulse nightclub shooting in Orlando, Florida, and planned to picket their funerals. However, hundreds of people chanting "We love you," including those dressed as angels with large wings, counter-protested and blocked their hateful messages from view. And I think that's a really nice example that love can win out over hate. They've claimed that God hates dark-hearted, rebellious, disobedient Jews, called them turds, God-hating, shyster brainwashers, and called them F-slur Jew Nazis. Just combinations of words I don't really think of these. I don't even know what to say about it, honestly. It's just so messed up. But they've justified the Holocaust and picketed everywhere, all over the place, from Yeshiva University to the Holocaust Museum. And yeah, in addition to gay people, they have a really strong hatred against the Jews. So it's not that they don't hate everyone, but still. In Illinois, one Jewish resident tried to counter-protest against their hate, and this is what happened. On the eve of Rosh Hashanah, Waters said she was prepared for the group's hateful message. A Jewish Skokie resident, Waters said she came out to promote love and peace, but was soon overwhelmed. It wasn't long before Waters broke down and started crying. As she walked away with her young child in a stroller, WBC member Shirley Phelps Roper emerged with a smile. "I told her what she needs to teach her child," Phelps Roper said, "that she needs to obey God." The Westboro Baptist Church is so hated, in fact, that even the KKK has protested against them. And I mean, you know you've got to be horrible if even the KKK is calling you hateful, and the KKK is a hate group. Now, they've also lied, claimed to threaten celebrities' funerals like Whitney Houston or Robin Williams, but they don't show up. And of course, they've made ridiculous parodies of popular songs, turning Lady Gaga's Shallow into God is Hallowed Now with some pretty mediocre vocals. And of course, I Write Sins Not Tragedies has turned into You Love Sin, What a Tragedy. And I don't recommend listening to them. It it really hurts. By now, I think it's apparent that I have absolutely nothing positive to say about these people. They're cruel, hateful, and I truly pity the children raised in this group that don't know any better. I hope that one day someone will be able to engage them in meaningful, eye-opening conversation the way that people did for Megan. I wanted to know why people believed this, and to some extent, I think the answer is simply alienation. The group is very tight-knit, and they truly do operate as a cult, and they see the rest of us as demons, so please, as tempting as it is, don't go after them. Don't spit at them, curse at them, flip them off, any of it. Prove them wrong instead. Let's be better than that, and spark things that truly cause good change. But with all of that being said, that's where I'm going to end today's episode of The Corporate Casket. I hope you enjoyed today's episode, and if you did, make sure to consider following on whatever platform you're listening to this podcast on. If you want more context for any of the sourcing that I used to create the video, links will be somewhere in a description box. And if you want to connect with me outside of the podcast on any of my social media, extra YouTube channels, Twitch, any of that, links will also be in that same general area. So thank you all for making it to today's episode of The Corporate Casket. I look forward to seeing you in the next one, and have a rest of a good Christmas, happy holidays, 25th of December, whenever you're listening to this, like, have a good one. Love you guys. See you in the next one.